Hey guys, love the Care Tag Show? Well, now you can follow us on iTunes. Search for us on the iTunes Store. You might have to search around a bit. Or check out podcast.care-tag.org. That's podcast.care-tag.org. Listen, enjoy, and join us on Care Tags. Welcome to the Care Tag Show. I think this is episode 13. Is it episode 13?
I don't know. It's been a lot.
This is 13 more episodes than I thought we would get by. Oh, congratulations to us. This is the Care Tag Show. We are a Care Tags is a fashion, pop culture, everything, music, politics, soccer, weightlifting forum. Care-tag.org. Primarily, we're a fashion forum. We're not experts, just big fans. Today on the podcast, well, my name is Tech on the Care Tags forum. My real name is Mike. I'm joined with my always lovely co-host, Adam. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Adam, it goes by Unwashed Molasses on the Care Tags forum. Adam, how's your summer going?
Summer's going well. We're going to internship and another job to obviously buy expensive clothing.
Yep.
Only reason.
Have you made any awesome expensive purchases recently?
There's this, which is a Yoji robe, which has been absolutely ridiculous.
I didn't realize you were the one who bought that.
Yeah, it was, I think it was the Shaw's, but...
Yeah.
I don't really have any reason necessarily to have it, other than that it makes me happy.
So. Is it very thick, or is it not thick?
It's hard to describe. It's wool of some sort and lined with silk. It's not that thick of a fabric, but it is very warm, so I'm sure I'll get some good use out of it.
It's great. You're nothing like wearing buying a black coat for the summer.
Exactly. So good.
Joining us today, and you just heard her voice, is Gracia, all the way from Hong Kong. She's been so kind enough to join us and break up this sausage fest that we usually have on the show. Gracia, say hello. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here. I just have to make one correction, though. I'm not currently in Hong Kong.
Oh.
I'm actually in Singapore.
Okay, excuse me. I assumed because of the time zone thing that you were in Hong Kong. You are actually in Singapore. Thank you for joining us all the way from Singapore. Have you made any amazing purchases, which we can only imagine are truly amazing based upon your blog and all the different things that you do?
I do actually have one coat that I just received this weekend. It's a Rick Owens, and it's from the Fall Winter Mountain Collection 2012, and I am absolutely loving it. It's a Fall Winter item, but it's so thin for some reason, and rather useless in winter, I suppose. But perfect for what might do for the climate here. So it works out really.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Gracia runs a blog, and it's how do you pronounce that blog? I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
Well, you can just say it, Rosenrot. With German R's.
It is an amazing lifestyle. Shows a lot of her amazing wardrobe that you've amassed. And I sort of assume that you still have a lot of the pieces there. I don't know. Maybe you've gotten rid of it, but. It's a great blog, Rosenrot. Check it out on the internet. And I guess I just wanted to have you on the show here. I have to ask the first question.
Yes.
Is how many helicopters do you have? No, I mean, how do you live this crazy, amazing lifestyle where you have all this amazing clothes? Not just that you have amazing clothes. You look amazing in all the clothes because. If I had all the clothes you had, I would just look like this weird troll that like came across a box of amazing clothes.
Well, you'd also be cross-dressing.
Yes, that's true. There's also that. But you seem to be able... You actually seem to inhabit the clothing. You have, amazing style. As much as you're able to divulge, you know, how do you live? This is crazy.
okay. That's a hell lot of compliments. Thank you. Not sure how to take that now. Really? I don't know. I live quite a laid-back lifestyle, just like most people. I don't, as much as I like to, I don't travel in helicopters. I fly low-cost airlines around the region. And the key is to not care about what people think. Just as long as I'm comfortable in my clothes, physically and mentally. And it's easy to, I suppose, as soon as I've achieved that, I can project that out, so I don't feel like the clothes are swallowing me. Mm-hmm. It took years for me to actually get to where I am, because, you know, I didn't actually start off wearing all this, labels. I used to be the biker jacket, skinny jeans, and leather boots sort of girl with an emo hairstyle, fringe.
Were we all? Yeah.
Yeah, just one side. And then I discovered Rick Owens, which is still my first love. But back then, I was still making fun of Comme des Garçons because I couldn't understand what they were doing.
Sure.
And it took me about another year to actually appreciate what this slightly strange labels are doing and what their ethos are and why they have the visions that they do. So I don't know if that answers the question.
No, it does. It does. And I guess it's always interesting to me. I feel a lot of people sort of start off their quote, fashion interest or career fashion interest, I guess, with being a hardcore person or being kind of a goth person. I wasn't like that, but I think a lot of other people sort of dabbled in that. And I don't think it's that big of a jump between being kind of a, interested in that kind of goth going into Rick Owens stuff. Because I feel Rick Owens, he draws a lot of his energy from that. I feel a lot of his silhouettes and a lot of his inspiration kind of draws from there. So I don't know if you would agree with that or if you would,
It's actually quite true because I remember it was in 2010 when I first saw Rick's collection. It was either 2010, 2011, and the one that I truly fell in love with, and bear in mind, I have seen his other collections, but it was this particular one that got me truly in love with him. That was Fall Winter 2008, and that's 3 years after it's been shown on the runways, and I feel that, oh my God, this is the guy who can make clothing that's unique and strange, but at the same time, it's got that wild attitude that punk, childlike personality who doesn't really care about growing up but still retains that angst, that teenage angst, and it exudes out in his collections, and I love that. And I thought, oh, wow, I could really relate to this, and that's how I jumped into Rick Owens, and I started researching more on him.
How did you? Yeah, I definitely understand what you mean with calm, and it's this kind of crazy thing. And when you think of fashion, capital F fashion, you might actually think of calm because it's so ridiculous. Sometimes you have to imagine, oh my God, how can anyone wear something like that? What was it for you that sort of opened up that key and made you think, okay, this is something maybe I could actually, maybe not see myself wearing, but okay, I can understand this point of view.
I don't actually remember the first time I fell in love with Comme des Garçons. I just remembered making fun of it, like I said earlier. I mean, I understand. I knew through my readings back then that Ray was somebody important, and her label was extremely influential in capital F fashion. And I'm sorry, what was the question again?
What was it that sort of, you know, made you think, you know?
It's odd. I honestly can't remember. It was probably seeing some collection that I could finally understand. Although it was probably closer to, 2012? I don't actually... oh yes, I remember. It was more of a progression, because I started getting to Yoji first, and from Yoji I started loving Issei.
Yep.
and from these two, you know, it just sort of, it's a natural progression towards Comte des Garçons. When I started loving all these large silhouettes and architectural clothes, it just goes straight. It's just easier for me to understand where Comte des Garçons coming from, having understood and being able to wear Yoji and Issei.
We're going to do this a little bit backwards. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, like, what do you do? And, you know, and I think a lot of people are interested too, because I assume that you sort of dress the way that you present yourself on the internet with some of your outfits and what you show on your blog. So, yeah. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be interested in the lifestyle that you lead, you know, like professionally and living in Singapore and such.
I run my own ship. That's the easiest explanation I could give, I suppose. I do meet clients, and of course I have to present myself the way you know, we'll talk about authenticity, and so what I dole out in the blog is it's how I wear my clothes in real life, and it comes down to you know, even traveling outside and things like that. And it's my whole life I've been, well, my whole professional life has revolved around fashion in one form or another. I got my first job in the publishing company. They published three titles, and one of them was female fashion, and the other was sort of like GQ. Mm-hmm. So with lots of gentleman's literature peppered with semi-nude ladies. So my job was, I was 17 and I was 20 and I just landed on this job by chance, and it was baptism by fire, because I had to style about 3 to 4 editorials a month. Mm. And I had to write style columns, and I had to make part of the most interesting part of my jobs was to make this may sound misogynistic, but this is what I had to do. I had to make girls' boobs look, you know, like an A cup to a C cup, and that sort of muscle.
Did you work at Maxim? What's going on here? No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It is almost like that. They were portraying females in lingerie and things, and of course they had to supplement that with intelligent articles. That's one of the magazines. The other one was
typical. Which is what we all read them for, right? Mm-hmm.
The other one was a typical shopping magazine, like Lucky. So right. I had to, you know, just present lots and lots of clothes. And back then, I wasn't into high fashion or anything. I couldn't even pronounce Lanvin, you know, or Loewe. It was just all these strange foreign names to me. And that was how I got started. And then after university, I got into being assistant with various people who actually give strange titles to themselves. So in fashion, it's very difficult to define a certain job. You cannot pigeonhole people. into certain professions, because everybody just does everything. And, you know, we could just call ourselves an image maker or a photographer. A photographer is really easy to define, but an image maker, they could do everything from branding to marketing to advertising and styling and things like that, and runs a magazine on your own. So that's sort of the kind of world that I've been involved with throughout my entire professional life.
That's great. So sort of, it sort of went hand in hand with your sort of professional development, as well as your sort of fashion, personal sense of style, I suppose. And I think that's I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. I know for me, you know, coming out to live in New York, just being more exposed to people, and even being exposed to people on the internet, you know, you sort of get drawn into, I don't know, another world, I suppose you could say. And then you just start to, I guess that's one thing too, is that in do you ever think that, like, if you were to leave the world of fashion or professionally, would you sort of back away from that? You know, your style would sort of regress, not regress, but maybe become a little simpler or whatever?
Have I ever thought about that?
Do you think that if you stepped away from fashion, you would become sort of less fashion-y?
You mean, so if I don't work in fashion, you mean?
Yeah.
Now, I can't see myself doing that. I mean, there may be a point in my life where I stopped, you know, working in fashion, but although I can't imagine it right now. But I don't think that I would be wearing, I would stop wearing what I'm wearing now, unless my taste and interests too naturally leaves this whole entire realm of fashion. I don't know, all of a sudden I could be just wearing sweatshirts and jeans.
Nothing wrong with sweatshirts and jeans. All right.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, you know, it's not what I usually wear, but I may gravitate back.
What's Singapore like as I've never been there. Is it very metropolitan? How do people dress? How do they sort of present themselves in Singapore?
Most people don't really care too much about clothes. I mean, sure, they care about their appearance, but a large subset of the population are just aiming to look okay. Some don't even care about looking decent in public. Slippers everywhere. You know, it is a hot country. We can't even say the word warm in here. It's 34 degrees in the last Celsius. Sorry, I don't know what that is.
I'll look that up for our American friends. Go ahead.
Is that 104? I don't know. I honestly don't know.
92.2 degrees Fahrenheit. That's very, very warm.
Okay, about 90. So people just care about, you know, staying comfortable. Although I do, I have to stress that I have a large tolerance. I have a very good tolerance to its heat, so hence why I'm always running around in boots. There are people who cares about fashion, but these people tend to be of the younger generation, and they kind of look like they've been hit by the Tumblr bus.
The Tumblr bus being dragged around on the through the Instagram highway. I get it.
Very charitable.
Yeah. Go ahead, continue, please. This is fascinating.
So you'd see, you'd see them being almost literally being dressed by the internet, manifesting, and they're just manifesting in real life, and you can see some of the ridiculous ones being posted on this snarky Tumblr. It's called "What the Fuck You Wearing Today," but it's shortened to its acronym. It's it's acronym. No, not acronym. Anyway, it's WTFW something. You just Google what the fuck you're wearing today. Tumblr.com. It will give you
we're writing on it. Yep. It's a yep. What the fuck you wearing today? Tumblr.com.
Okay, what the fuck you wearing today? Just Google that, not Tumblr.com. My apologies.
And then you say, but some of this isn't that bad, you know. But continue, please.
Well, most people, I suppose, they, like I said, they just care about staying comfortable. Fashion's not quite everybody's cup of tea. It's not become that fashionable yet in this part of the world. Although people do strive to consume in other ways by... I mean, through other means such as food, you know, going to hipster cafes and or carrying the latest gadgets and things like that. Consumption to us is, you know, maybe through most of us, we do it through clothes. These people, they consume through gadgets and experiences.
I want to definitely get into the consuming of clothes. I'm really excited to talk to you about Comme des Garçons.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of my favorite line, and I think for you, it seems to be a very, you know, I would say, what would you say, top three designer of yours?
It's definitely top three, yes.
And I just wanted to talk a little bit about it. I'm a very recent convert to it. I was joking around recently with a friend. I think last year they had Comme des Garçons had their first sort of, you know, sample factory sale type of thing here. And it was like an epic event, and it went on for like a week. And literally the day after it ended, I stumbled upon it. Like, I mean, stumbled upon the brand with new eyes, I guess you could say. And I became really interested in it. And of course, then I had missed the sale. You know, I love the look. I love my favorite store is the Comme des Garçons flagship store. It's in Chelsea. Chelsea is sort of like an art neighborhood. There's tons of art galleries there, very high-end art galleries. And the Comme des Garçons store is sort of nestled right in between a bunch of art galleries. So you go there and you're sort of in this art mood, and then you come across the store, and it has a very unusual door. There's a very unusual opening. And you go into this place, and I think a lot of people who go in there think it's an art gallery. And only after a little while they sort of realize that it's a store. And they, you know, and for me, you know, I had seen it before, but you know, I still do this. I go there and I just look at everything, just because, especially the women's clothing, because it's so artistic. You know, there's so many pieces that are, all the felt pieces that she makes are, you know, they look great on the hanger. They look great on the person. And I guess, I'm not even sure where to start. It's such a huge brand. But I don't know. Do you still remember your first Comme des Garçons piece?
My first piece. Wow. I don't think I do actually. I honestly don't. I as much as I try, I honestly can't remember.
Mm-hmm. How about? Yeah. Go ahead.
But I do understand about your experience in going to the store, because whenever I'm in London, I would religiously visit Dover Street Market, and they've got all these installations and strange sculptures that they will exhibit. And I think I always remember the horns for some reason, a skull with a strange animal skull with horns and or plumed feathers and things like that. And I thought, okay, this is pretty hardcore, and I love every bit of it. Mm-hmm. You know, going to the store is always a great experience, even though I go in and I feel poor immediately. But yes, you were going to ask me something?
Well, how about this? Do you have a favorite piece right now that you have?
I do have quite a few, actually. Yeah, I've been talking about the Wonderland collection on my blog, and it's from Fall Winter 2009, and I have quite a number of them. And I can't say which I love best, but you know, I love them all equally because they're all so gorgeous and significant and formidable would be the right word, I suppose. You know, they're huge and they basically slaughter your vision whenever they come into your peripheral sight. And I love that. I wish I could show you, but my video is...
Yeah, it is a limitation of the podcast format. Well, I mean, tell us a little bit about what you think, you know, what draws you towards this, you know, this line, this label, when for a while you said that, you know, you made fun of it. You know, what do you think it is about that sort of shifted the passion so far?
I think the more I do my reading, the more I understand. So, you know, I don't know whether you could say that knowledge is power or that knowledge is brainwashing me, but basically I become a convert after handling several pieces. I could tell, I mean, I when I touch the fabric, I feel like, wow, this is something special in my hands. They're not luxurious in the conventional sense. It's you know, there's that whole wabi-sabi sensibilities where mm-hmm. things sort of look like they will break down or they're crumpled, but it still feels like it still feels expensive. It is an oxymoron for mm-hmm. someone to say that, but you know, there's a true sense of luxury in being able to wear something and appreciate it and not really care. I mean, I do care, but you know, you don't have to worry about it tearing or splitting at the seams or not being able to run in it. You know, basically I could go about doing my things, my daily activities, and not feel hampered. And I still feel like I look like, I still feel great looking like an alien from outer space at the same time. And all these combinations of factors, it just increased my appreciation for the label. And also the fact that I always love, for me, I always love anything that's strange and unique and makes me think. Because generally, sure, pretty things are nice, but after seeing, you know, a thousand collections of pretty things, I just get so bored of it. And I would be constantly looking for something that it makes me wonder why someone does that, or mm-hmm. How it defies conventional sensibilities. To put it in a very cliche manner, it's intelligent, and intelligent works are fascinating, even if they are not beautiful. And I suppose that's what I truly love from Comme des Garçons. It teaches me to look at beauty from other perspective, and not just the ones that, you know, we are brought up to understand.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you especially with sort of that durability factor. I think it's one thing that's really interesting to me is, you know, I was really into, you know, that hashtag menswear, a lot of suiting for a long time, and it was very concerned with, like, you know, having a certain kind of material, and, you know, a lot of suiting wool, and there's a lot of cotton and that sort of thing. And then there's a lot of comm stuff, which is polyester, which yes. In the menswear world is very like, no, you know, you're not supposed to wear stuff like that, you know. And I found that, you know, at first I was like, well, this is kind of weird. Is this some, you know, inferior kind of material? And I found out later on that, you know, polyester, especially when it's you know, in the hands of Ray, and it's been boiled or sort of been manipulated, it holds a shape that's unlike any kind of other cloth, and it's extremely durable. You know, literally you can, you know, get it wet, run it through the mud, and it sort of shrugs off a lot of other stuff. So it's weird because it's a very beautiful piece, but it's extremely tough. And mm-hmm. I you know, always wonder if, you know, how much of that sort of duality she's trying to put into the clothing. You know, is that as if it's on purpose, whether, you know, you're supposed to have this, you know, beautiful, not beautiful thing kind of combined together.
I see it as, I don't know, from two different points. One is that, yes, maybe Ray was trying to, you know, make us appreciate things, like I said, from an unconventional perspective. But on the other hand, we have to remember that Ray, and she has admitted this herself plenty of times, Ray's a businesswoman. And the fact that, you know, she chose to use common fabrics and cheap fabrics like polyester and wool and very little leather, in fact, lots of PVC. It brings down costs, and I think part of being able to bring down costs in your materials allows you to, leaves Ray with more money or capital to do other things like R&D and experiment with cuts and colors and ideas instead of being so hung up on the usual sense of luxury that we're so used to. Comte de Garçon never deals with silk. I have never seen silk pieces in any of the ones that I've come across. And the closest to silk was always chiffon.
Right.
And even then it would be made of polyester. So I would think it's a two-pronged approach. One is that, yes, you could appreciate ugly things in a very beautiful manner. And the other is that it keeps costs down, and therefore she could pass on the savings to the consumers, because let's face it, she has to be realistic about the prices. She can't charge Song De Kong prices to consumers because she doesn't drive on branding. She drives on ideas. She drives on concepts. And without if she increases her prices and now, to be honest, it's all quite, her prices are reaching astronomical level in the last few seasons. Even then I'm quite taken aback, to be honest, by the price tags. I'm hoping she would go back to being a little bit more affordable in the next few seasons. I mean, I love her ideas, and I can understand why she has to charge all these prices, because there's so much thought that goes into every individual piece. And if she has actually used a more expensive materials, it would have been, I don't know, $6,000 instead of the $3,000 that she was charging.
Well, she certainly is very successful. She's probably one of the most successful designers who ever lived. And let's talk actually a little bit about all those the different lines. Pom is also known for having tons and tons of different
17 lines.
At least. So I want to try something where I'll say the line, and you give me one sentence what you think of that line. You want to try to do that?
Sure, I'll do my best.
All right, I brought the Wikipedia article up here because I am all professional. let's see here. Let's start this. This is a real line. So, Comte de Garçon, a.k.a. Com-Com.
A diffusion line in the truest sense of the word. So can I go on further, or is this one line?
No, keep going. No.
Only one sentence.
That's it. No, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Com-Com is unlike the other lines. It's, we don't know who designs them, and basically, it whenever I see Com-Com, it's really more of a lot of the boiled polyester suits and the shirts. and the simpler designs of the runway items would be reserved for this line. So you get the simpler, you get the simpler designs of the runway items, and B, there will be lots and lots of polyester jackets in that collection every single time. It's a staple of that line. That's what I see in Comme des Garçons, Comme des Garçons.
Right. How about the main line then, Comme des Garçons?
Oh.
Because let me clarify a little bit. Because if you were sort of an outsider, didn't know Comme des Garçons, you know, all the lines would seem to sort of blend the same. What is it about Comme des Garçons, the main line, that makes it different from the other dozen lines?
It's like taking a terribly, terribly strong acid trip, while everything else looks so normal and decent. Yeah, that's how I do. That's how people, I guess, you know, an outsider can differentiate the main line from the rest. I mean, you know, I remember going to the Comme des Garçons store in Singapore a couple of years ago, and that was probably one of the first times I've been in there. And immediately my eyes were drawn to the main line, because it is just so I'm out of words for it. It's just, it really assaults your vision.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's right there in front of you, and you could just take your eyes away from them, and everything else just looks so pale in comparison.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of a side question. What do you think Ray's approach when designing Comme des Garçons is with regards to sort of the female body? Because in some ways you might be tempted to say that she sort of destroys the female body and kind of covers it up or manipulates it. What do you think is her approach to doing to the human body, but particularly the female body?
I think she approaches clothes in a very different way from, say, the mainstream, major designers, in that she doesn't really care about sexuality, and her clothes are completely devoid of that. It's really more ideas, and I remember reading a snippet about her, or an interview or something, and where she says, she took this, a ball of fluff or cotton, and she said, I want to have this sort of lightness to clothes, and next thing you know, her clothes look like clouds, or it's all so padded and floaty, and so the human body comes later, regardless. I mean, when it comes to female clothing, the human body comes later. It's all about ideas, the kind of, not vision, I suppose. It's the emotions that she wants to evoke, the concept that she wants to drive on. Yeah.
Let's go back to the game for a second. Let's play. How about this will be interesting. Play Comme des Garçons.
Oh God! This is where.
Yep, with the heart logo and and all that stuff.
It's a true testament that Ray is a proper businesswoman. It's just her money making.
Yeah.
I actually had an article that I was gonna take a look at for a second, where they talk about how Comme des Garçons, as of 2013, had $220 million in revenue. 12% of which is just from the play line. The president of Comme des Garçons International, Adrien Joffe, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, was quoted as saying play was totally a business decision.
Indeed, yes. I think they've made that very clear, and I'm quite glad for the transparency.
Yeah, it's nice that they haven't had any qualms about it.
Right.
Exactly.
What do you think about it?
What do I think about it? I don't think I'll ever spend money on it. I mean, if I want something like that, I'll just do it myself. You know, have a shirt printed out for a tenner instead of spending, what, 15? I don't know how much they go for, to be honest.
Yeah, they're really... I think my first ever comp thing was those comp play, the Converse with the heart thing. The longest time, man. You know, like, I was like, I would see people wearing it, I'd be like, what a sucker, God. And then I started more interested, and I got more interested in comp, and I was like, oh my God, these comp shoes are only $100. And I just, like, went right in. She's like, you know, meanwhile, Ray is, like, petting her cat somewhere. And she's like, yeah, another one.
To be fair, I think that she says that regardless of what you buy.
That's true. That's true. The cat isn't even alive. It's the idea of the cat more than the actual cat itself.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the more remarkable things about Comme des Garçons as a line, though, is that not only is Ray able to create this incredible, artistic, innovative, imaginative designs in her work, but she is also such a successful businesswoman. Like, the entire brand has been expanded so thoroughly and so well. It's very rare to see, or at least in my experience, very rare to see someone able to do both things at the same time.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
The thing is, I was just looking at the numbers, which Adam, to be fair, for a business that's been doing for 40 years, to have a revenue of about just $200 million is actually not much,
right,
as compared to, say, Louis Vuitton or Gucci. You know, they're dealing with billions, especially for a label that's so influential, you're not actually truly, loaded or as rich as
right.
Well, so I, but it's an independent label, and I like how Ray does run a tight ship, even though the ship has sort of expanded in size, but it's still under her control, and appreciate that.
I'd like to know your thoughts now on how about Comme des Garçons Homme Plus, the menswear.
Oh. The menswear, sometimes it could be interesting. It is like a slightly more subdued version of the female line. You could see the similar ideas being being transplanted. Actually, wait, the Homme Plus line is always shown first, so I don't know which comes first when it comes to the research or design stage, but it could be more crazy, let's put it that way, but I think she understands that men are not ready for crazy clothes yet, and besides, you know, what's to stop men from wearing the female clothes if they truly want to go for other crazier things?
That's fair. Yeah, I always go and I look at, you know, Comme des Garçons, the women's segment's amazing, and they're like, here's a dress that looks like a cube or like whatever. And then there's men's stuff, and there's some men's stuff which is awesome, but I always feel like such a letdown because it ends up, it's really just a suit jacket, some suit pants, a nice shirt, and some fun shoes. I think that, you know, the craziest thing I've ever seen is like, you know, like a weird hat or something like that. And it, you know, you're right. Like, you see those same ideas. You know, if she's playing around with polka dots this particular season, then you're going to see that in the menswear suit. It still ends up just sort of being a menswear suit. And I always feel it's such a... I'm always disappointed, but I think you're right. It's sort of like, you know, men... When it comes to men's clothing, there's certain things that are men's clothing. Whereas for women, I think there are certain things that are not men's clothing. It's just been a great conversation. We could go on forever. This brand's been around for decades. But I want to end off by playing a game, another game, like a real game. And And I've come up with some questions, some trivia questions. And if you win, you get a compliment from me and Adam. that's all we got. You want to play?
I can't say no, can I?
You really can't. But it'll be fun. And so this is a new segment we're going to try playing out on the podcast. So forgive us if these questions are kind of oddball, but we'll play. And so the idea is if you can get if you can get all the questions right, you will get a compliment from Adam and myself. or how about this? Like three out of four. So which we listen to a lot of NPR. Which of the following is a real quote really said by a real designer? Okay, which of the following is a real quote really said by a real designer?
Okay.
A, I think perfection is ugly. Is it B, people make me sick? Is it C, we hold these truths to be self-evident? Is it D, I think truth is ugly?
Wow, I could sort of attribute all of that to either Yoji or Ray. Can I go with A? It sounds like the most cliched hands I've heard it so many times.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, Dean, good job.
Woo!
Yes. Great. And do you, a bonus point, do you know who said it? Guess.
Ray?
Close, it was Yoji. You did say Yoji earlier, but it was Yoji.
Yes, it was either, yes.
He would say, right? He would definitely, I think he probably also would say, I think truth is ugly, but yeah.
Do you know what? It was actually, I actually wrote that on my blog, and it was...
It's amazing. Okay, question two. In what year was Comme des Garçons Homme Deux, what year was it created? Hold on, I get to list so you can pick. 1979, 1981, or 1996?
1987.
Yes, 1987.
Damn.
That's 2 points right there. You're 1 point away from the awesomeness of us complimenting you.
I also have access to Wikipedia, by the way.
Damn it! Okay, this is
foiled by the internet.
You'll be foiled by this one as well. Actually, hey, I came up with these questions like 10 minutes before.
I promise not to actually look it up anymore. The last two questions, it's purely out of my brain and my memory. Yes. Okay, go on.
Questions over Owen's question. Which of the following Rick Owens seasons names is not real? Which of the following Rick Owens seasons names is not real?
Yeah.
Is it A, Crust, B, mm-hmm. Moog, C, Suckerball, or D, Lament?
What is the second one?
So it's Crust, Moog, Suckerball, or Lament.
You say a mood, M O O D.
M Moog, M O O G.
Oh, Moog. Can I go with Lament?
Yeah, that's right. Lament is not the real word. You would think that he would, but no. He never named anything Lament. So Crust is real, Moog is real, Soccer Ball is real.
Oh my God! I actually got it.
That is
great because the fourth question.
That would be embarrassing because Rick Owens is supposed to be my first love.
Well, you win the prize, which is a compliment, which we compliment you a bunch of times already on this podcast. But I'll compliment you with your amazing wealth of knowledge, and you have great patience being on this show. So thank you very much, Adam.
You were the first person who dressed in a way totally alien to my tastes that I could look at and say that just makes sense.
Classic Adam compliment. Well, that's probably all the time we've got for the Care Tech show. I want to thank our guest, who's been awesome, Gracia. Thank you so much. Check out her blog, The Rosenrot. Look it up, The Rosenrot. Thanks for everyone for listening. Join us on Care Tags.
Shouts to Ryan.
Shouts to Ryan, our producer. Shouts to everyone at the Care Tags forum. Gracia, it's Monday morning for you. I think you should get to work. All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. You guys wanted to last.